All day long, our thoughts can waver between being encouraged and discouraged. Our thoughts are sometimes thinking, wow, we're so loved. Other times we're feeling very lonely. Sometimes our thoughts are very hopeful. Other times they're very depressed. How do we know which thoughts come from Jesus? We're thinking, is Jesus pushing me? Or am I just being too hard on myself? We know from the gospel, Jesus can be very, very gentle. We also know that he criticized his own disciples. He said, we heard last week, he said to his disciples, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe. Even after 22 years of, for me, spiritual formation, I still go every month to see a spiritual director so I can hear Jesus' voice, because sometimes I deceive myself and sometimes I need reassurance. That's where Jesus is speaking to me. All of you need a spiritual director. There are so few of them out there, so I want to give you a very brief solution first. Some of you are being called to be a spiritual director. You need to be formally trained so that you can help other people. And then secondly, I want to give you some group spiritual direction right now. I want to teach you three clues to hear Jesus' voice. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through these three clues. Then we're going to talk about St. Ignatius of Loyola's advice, and then we're going to end with a story. The gospel begins, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Okay, so very quickly, the symbolism of this parable is this. So we're clearly the sheep. The gatekeeper is most likely God the Father. Jesus tells us later, we didn't hear it, but he tells us later that he is the gate. In other words, he's the one through whom we have eternal life. He also tells us that he's the shepherd. And then the thieves and the bandits are any leader who leads us away from Jesus. And what does Jesus' voice symbolize? Jesus' voice. Just want to see if all of you are paying attention. Now let's go to the three clues to hear his voice. First clue, Jesus' voice will always affirm our dignity. He says, we just heard, that he calls his own sheep by name. Now, for those of you who have belonged to our parish for the past few years, you know how much we emphasize we need to know each other's names. Why? Because when you use someone's name, it affirms their dignity. Okay, so right away, whenever you have a thought in your head that says something like, I'm a loser, I'm ugly, I'm worthless, I'm a complete failure, that's not the voice of Jesus, not affirming your dignity. That's a voice of condemnation. Now, Jesus does criticize us, but whenever Jesus criticizes us, he always affirms our dignity. We said in October that people who get everything they want in life, they actually become spiritually weak. They actually become morally weak, because when we get everything we want in life, we become disengaged, become passive. We do become selfish. We can't handle adversity because we never have any adversity. And we typically become materialistic and hedonistic. We become perpetual children. Now, a lot of us have felt that. How does it feel when you're in that state? Now, we used very strong language back in October, and we said, when we're in that state where we're spiritually, morally weak, we said we feel useless and pathetic. Now, why did we use such strong language? We're trying to capture a very, very real human experience. And that's the experience of, I'm not getting to reach my potential. And it's my own fault. And so this criticism, it actually affirms our dignity. It actually says that we're made for greatness. Remember I told you some years back, I told you about two friends, Bill and John. Bill and John, they go for a walk, talking about the usual stuff. And then Bill says to John, John, no one takes you seriously. Okay, so John, everyone loves him. He's the life of the party, but no one actually respects him. And John had a kind of self-hatred because who he had chosen to become. But he kind of hated himself because he knew he was fundamentally good. Jesus says that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, Jesus lays down his life for us. Why? Because we're fundamentally good. So he obviously sees value in us. We heard last Saturday, a lot of you participated in this You Evangelize virtual summit, and Michael Dopp said, every day he tells his children that they are perfectly loved. And so whenever we have a thought along those lines, we are perfectly loved, we are good, okay, then you're able to hear a very good part of Jesus' voice. Second clue, Jesus' voice offers us the fullness of life. He says today, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So Jesus' voice will always talk about the fullness of life, what will lead us to the deepest and most enduring happiness. Most philosophers distinguish between four levels of happiness. First level of happiness is pleasure and instant gratification. Second level is achievement and comparison. Notice that lasts longer. It's a deeper happiness than pleasure and instant gratification, but it can also be a bit of a trap. Third level of happiness is contributing to the happiness of other people. That's even better. But there's still more, right? Even that won't fulfill us completely. There's transcendent spiritual happiness, which is eternal. So the question right away for us is, in our mind, which thoughts point us to the happiness that endures longest? Which will be the deepest? So I'll give you a few examples of this. A couple dating. They come to me, they're trying to figure out when exactly they should get married. So they first of all, of course, talk about when they're going to finish school, job prospects, and where they're going to live. But I know they're really attentive, really attuned to Jesus' voice when they say, Father, we just want to choose whatever date will give us the best marriage. So they've got kind of two options. On the one hand, they'll think, well, if we wait, it's going to give us more time to work on our faults. That's really good, right? Because they're thinking, what's going to give us the best marriage? Because when you have a great marriage, that's going to point you in the direction of the fullness of life. On the other hand, they're thinking, well, I don't know if there's a lot to be gained by waiting. We want to start a family right away because family is most important to us. Here's the point. They're thinking, their whole decision is based on what's going to give them the fullness of life in their marriage, because a wonderful marriage will be a deeper source of happiness. And they know that their happiness resides primarily in Jesus, in their character and their virtue, and secondarily, but definitely secondarily, in our career and where, for example, we live. Another example, always pay attention to how something feels after you do it rather than before. You have to be able to distinguish those. So getting drunk, getting high, yeah, of course, it'll always be enticing beforehand. Yeah, it will promise pleasure. How do we feel after? Big difference. Same thing with pornography, sex outside of marriage. It will offer pleasure. That's why it's very tempting. It can never offer intimacy. And intimacy is always part of a deeper happiness. Now, this principle applies to virtue, but in the opposite way. So whenever we do something virtuous, it might be hard at the beginning, but it's very rewarding at the end, like exercise. A lot of us don't feel like exercising. Yeah, it's very hard. How do we feel after we exercise? We feel really good. A lot of the time, we don't feel like praying. But after, yeah, there's this sense of satisfaction. And I'll give you a final example. Can you distinguish in your head between the voice of excellence and the voice of mediocrity? So a lot of our culture will always focus on mediocrity, a minimalism. So we'll start asking ourselves questions like, what do I have to do to get good grades? Implicitly, the question is, well, what's the least I have to do to get good grades? What do I have to do to keep this job? Implicit, what's the least I have to do to keep this job? And then we'll even ask questions like, yeah, what do I have to do to get into heaven? The least. But that's not the attitude of Christ. That's not the voice of excellence. Jesus was always thinking, how can I do the Father's will perfectly? How can I give myself fully to humanity? Now, notice that the voice of excellence includes a voice of rest. And the voice of rest sounds different than the voice of laziness. The voice of rest says, I need to take care of my legitimate needs. I want to give even more generously in the future. But the voice of laziness typically says, I just don't care. And that's not the voice of Jesus. Third clue. Jesus' voice offers us truth. He says in John chapter 18, for this I was born, and for this I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Okay, so a lot of the thoughts in our head, we have to ask ourselves, are they in accord with what Jesus teaches? Are they in accord with what he teaches philosophically, theologically, morally? How do we know what Jesus teaches? His most important teachings will be in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. That will be our sure guide. Jesus says, he talks about being of the truth. He says people who are of the truth hear his voice. What does it mean to be of the truth? A person who is of the truth is a person who wants to know truth, even if it's inconvenient, even if it's something they don't want to hear. And so I want to give you two tips that will help us become more of the truth. So first tip is, share everything that's in your heart with someone who's spiritually mature. So typically what will happen is something like this. We'll want to find out what God wants us to do in our life. So we'll talk to our best spiritual friend and we'll reveal what's in our heart, but we won't reveal everything. Why don't we reveal everything? There is a part in all of us that knows that quite often our plans are not the same as God's plans. So when we talk to our friend, we edit what we share. We manipulate the information we share because we don't want them to see through our reasoning and they might challenge us. But when we do that, we close ourselves off partially to truth. So we have to remember, we've got to share everything. And when we share everything, if God takes away something good, it's only so that he can give us something better. And if you're thinking, I don't have any spiritual friends, I want to invite you to join us at the end of May for our faith study program online. More about that in the announcements. And the second tip, so that we can be people of the truth, so that we can hear Jesus' voices, think about praying this prayer of Mark Hart, a wonderful Catholic speaker. He prays this every morning. He says, Jesus, take away anything or anyone in my life that prevents me from becoming a saint. That's very hard to pray. But what it's doing is, it's giving Jesus the freedom. He can take away good things in our life. And if we give him that freedom, he'll always give us something back, even better. Now let's apply these three clues to situations that St. Ignatius gives. So the first situation that St. Ignatius of Loyola gives in his rule of discernment, he says this rule applies to people who are going from sin to sin. They're caught up in mortal sin. So if we want to hear Jesus' voice, the first question, it's a difficult question, but a very helpful one, is we have to ask ourselves, what is the fundamental direction of my life? And he says people in the first stage are moving away from God. They keep on going from mortal sin to mortal sin. And as we've talked about a lot of times, mortal sin is three conditions. Is something gravely wrong? We know it's wrong, and we still choose to do it anyway. And St. Ignatius says that when we're in this state, when this is the fundamental direction of our life, the enemy of our souls will focus, the thoughts will be focused primarily on pleasure. A lot of our thoughts will be focused on making money at the expense of our souls and at the expense of our families. A lot of lustful thoughts, a lot of thoughts about sex outside of marriage, a lot of thoughts about living it up. And Father Timothy Gallagher says, for those of us when we're in this stage, we'll be very concerned about our image. We'll be very concerned about comfort. That's how the enemy will speak. But Jesus' voice is very different when we're in this stage. We're going to hear those three clues. The first thing is, Jesus is going to say, you are loved and you are good and you're made for more. Number two, we're going to feel this desire in our heart. Yeah, I want to be healed. I want to be free. I want to be whole. And number three, he's going to give us truth and he's going to work primarily on our conscience. So we'll start asking ourselves questions like, Are you really happy living this way? Why do you hurt the people who love you and need you? When you look back, will you be happy with the life you're leading now? So that's the first situation. The second situation is different. St. Ignatius says, this situation applies to those who are intensely purifying their sins and they're rising from good to better. So again, we go back to that question. What's the fundamental direction of our life? We're trying to improve our life. We actually really want to get closer to God. We're trying to get rid of those bad things in our life. And so the enemy, his voice will work differently when we're in this situation. He's going to overwhelm us. We're going to have a lot of anxiety. We're going to feel it's really difficult to pray, really difficult to serve God. We're going to start thinking, well, I won't be happy if I lose those old friendships. We're going to start saying stuff like, oh, all those people at church, they're all hypocrites. Whoa. You hear in that voice, there's nothing of Jesus there. No affirmation of dignity. There's no talk about the fullness of life and a lot of exaggeration. There's no truth there. Now, by the way, today at Mass, during communion, right after the spiritual communion prayer, we're just going to add the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. Some of you have asked about this. And now that we're talking about hearing the voice of Jesus, the voice of the enemy, it'd be a beautiful thing if during that time of silence, we can pray that St. Michael the Archangel prayer, asking for protection from the influence of the devil. Now, Jesus' voice, when we're in this situation, again, we'll hear those three clues. When we're really trying to improve in our life, this is what Jesus will say to us. He'll say, you're good. Look at all the things you have to be grateful in your life. You've already improved so much. You're doing really well. Look how many people love you. You hear the voice of encouragement there? And then second, you're going to start experiencing deeper relationships, deeper peace. You'll start finding joy in helping other people. You might even, as St. Ignatius says, you might even have tears of joy and healing. And number three, Jesus will remind us of the truth. He will not hurt us. He will not push us beyond what we can handle. Please remember what Father David Bauer said to my mom. I told you this some years ago. Father David Bauer was going to go into the NHL like his older brothers. He had already won the Memorial Cup with his team when he's 18 years old, going to go into the NHL. But he gave it up to follow God's call as a priest. So he gives up his great love, and what happens? He's so good at hockey. Canadian Olympic team asks him as a priest to coach the Canadian Olympic team. And he's now in the NHL Hall of Fame. And Father Bauer said to my mom when he was preparing her to become Catholic at UBC, he said to her, when you give God what you love, he gives it back to you, but in a deeper way, in a more beautiful way. So he gave up hockey, what he loved. He got it back, and he got back so much more. So we finish off now with a story. When St. Augustine was 15 years old, his studies were interrupted because his family lacked money. So it sounds like a COVID-19 situation, our studies being interrupted. And that boredom was the occasion for him to start leading a self-indulgent life. He wrote later in his what's called the Confessions, his autobiography, he said, I burned to fill myself with evil things. When he was 17 years old, his friends would boast about their sexual encounters. St. Augustine got drawn in. He had a girlfriend for 15 years. They had a child when St. Augustine was only 18. So for years, he was hungering for truth. He wanted wisdom, starting to feel weary of his lifestyle, but he couldn't break free. When he was 31 years old, a friend told him in passing about two acquaintances of his who had left their government jobs in Rome to become monks after they heard this story of St. Anthony of the Desert. St. Anthony of the Desert left everything to follow Jesus as a hermit. And when St. Augustine heard this story, it touched him to the heart. He's thinking, I want that life. But again, he couldn't go there fully. He's still so attached to his sins, to his bad life. And he's thinking about going back. And St. Augustine said that God lashed him with two things, fear and shame. Why? Because he's in that first stage. He's going from mortal sin to mortal sin. Now time passes, and he starts searching for God more. And here's the change. He's searching for God more, and now the voices change their tactics. He wrote, when he was in this stage, he wrote later on that he heard the voice of his past life say to him, "Are you going to dismiss us? From this moment, we shall never be with you again. You will never be allowed to do this thing or that." And so he couldn't break free. More time passes. He's really trying to grow. He's so sincere. He's trying to do what he can to move ahead. And he said that he heard the voice of purity calling him over. And that voice said, "She smiled at me to give me courage, saying, 'Can you not do what these men and women do? Do you think they find the strength to do it in themselves and not in the Lord their God? Cast yourself upon God and have no fear. He will not let you fall. He will welcome you and cure you of your ills.'" Famously, he finds himself under the fig tree. He's crying. And believe it or not, this is what he writes in his confessions. He writes that he heard the voice of a child, and the voice said, "Take and read, take and read." Grabs the Bible. He opens it up to the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. And this is what he reads. "The night is far gone. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." And there is a decisive grace that came into his soul, and he's finally free, and he could embrace the life God wanted for him. He tells his best friend right then and there, Alypius. He's finally free, and they had journeyed together, and Alypius is so surprised that Alypius also decides to become Catholic. They go into the house. They tell his St. Augustine's mother, Monica. She's so excited. So the person who was lost for so long finally came home. Augustine's life, it demonstrates those three clues to hearing Jesus' voice. The first one, there's so much goodness in us that God never gives up on us. He never gave up on Augustine, never will give up on us, and he uses everything in his power to call us home. Second, Augustine shows us we all want to be deeply happy. And number three, he shows us that voice of truth. He admits his weaknesses. He admits what's right and wrong. So I want to ask you a very simple question in the online chat afterwards, not as complicated as the last few weeks. The simple question is, which of these three clues do you need to remember this week so that you can hear Jesus' voice? So again, listen to the voice that affirms your dignity, that offers you the fullness of life, and offers you truth.